Hey, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with us. I want to thank our Patreon members who call it buying us a pint after every episode. The legends include Bill Grease, Henry Backer, Jimmy Fada, and Tony Zane. Thank you to G-Money and Marcus Von B. Our mug members and our turkey skin luggage members include Mark D., Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet, Bernsey 79, Kevin Waghorn, Martin Peddle, along with Mike Ennis, Randy Spence, and Retro Mags Brian. Thanks to all of you guys, and thanks to all of our members. If you'd like to be a Patreon member, just check us out at stevewproject.com.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the SWP. My name is Steve Warren. My good friend Jim Jerome is right there on the other side of the internet machine there. He's out in Edmonton. I'm here in Ottawa. And lots to get to today. The Super Bowl is all set. And my good buddy James, who is a gambling fiend when it comes to the National Football League playoffs, yes, was sweating bullets this afternoon or this evening.
Well, I wasn't sure. I texted you. You didn't get back to me, you prick.
What?
Well, because you're good at the picks. You know,
I don't remember you texting me.
No, I missed.
I would never ignore
you. I ask you, who do you want? I need you.
Oh, so, fuck. It's right there.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I say, I need you. I get up this morning. I'm making more money not betting. And the reason I say that sounds stupid, but I'm only missing the deadline. You know me, Stevie, the unorganized or the organized chaos, right? And I'm going, I get to the bookie today. I'm like, load up on Baltimore. Okay, 300. Ooh. He goes, the game's already started. Ah, fuck. Okay, so there's 300. Okay, there's 300.
I'm surprised he didn't take your money.
Yeah. Well, it just started, though. The game just started. It wasn't, it wasn't like it was over or something.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm like, okay, I want to bet the other game. You and I are going to jump on after it, and I text you. Who are you picking? Crickets.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Crickets.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'm the king of betting for other people.
I know you are. So anyway, I take Detroit for large, Stevie, for large.
And you were looking amazing at halftime. Oh,
I walked away. I was like, you know what? Do you know how good I felt? I put it on pause and I said, maybe I'll do a little vacuuming now, you know, around the house and stuff. Yeah. Don't need to watch this game. So anyway, I click it on and, you know, halftime, yada, yada, yada. The only 8 minutes I missed of the game, because I pause it, okay? So right. So anyway, I'm fucking around. We'll do that fact. Cleaning up, Steve. Maybe it's time to buff up the air fryer. Just doing a bunch of shit because I know I'm going to win this bet.
Sure.
Well, I'll just go back and check. Probably the way it's going, they might be there. They're going to vomp them. What? I flip it on. It's 24 all. And sure enough, I go, oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go up by 10. And
well, I think what happened at halftime there was that Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions, they did some vacuuming instead of, you know, preparing for the second half. Because they certainly sucked, if I can use the vacuum joke a little farther.
Well, they did.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, they had San Fran's number, you know, they in the first half, right? It's like these guys have gone to school, man. They had a game plan here, you know, some sort of game plan. And you thought it's too late. It's too late. That's what I thought, going to the locker room at halftime. It's too late, San Fran. They're getting outplanned here, you know? Not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I've never been one of those guys that gambles in-game like so many people do now. Get on their, you know, gambling site and, you know, oh, what's happening here? And then you make a bet. But if I were, I would have done that in the Detroit situation because Detroit looks so good on offense. And I don't just mean scoring. I mean the way they were manhandling San Francisco's defensive line. It seemed like Jared Goff was going to have all day, all night, every freaking play to do whatever he wanted out there. But as the game changed, it seemed like San Francisco's defense got more energy. Detroit was deflated because they'd given up the lead. And it was just, you know, it was so just to reset. We should probably tell people what happened for those who, you know, didn't see the games. We had Detroit up 24-7 at the half. And then San Fran came right back in the second half with 27 unanswered points. And they win. So it's going to be Kansas City against San Francisco in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks' time. And I made a little dough, got to say,
good.
Off Kansas City in the first game. Baltimore was kind of a lot of boneheadedness in that game. I thought Baltimore did a lot of dumb stuff, as I was texting you earlier in the day. Just dumb penalties at the wrong time, big mistakes, right. Couple of big fumbles in both games when you get down to it that were really costly for the losers. And so, yeah, Kansas City and
Detroit
and San Francisco. More Taylor Swift for you.
You know, I will say this, though, Stevie. So Detroit goes boom, boom, 14-0 right away, right? And then yada, yada, yada. They get up another 3 points, so up 17. There is a bit of bad luck, Stevie, for them in the second half with the ball bouncing off the fucking guy's helmet. I don't know, a couple other things. So anyway, I win.
Yeah.
I covered. Yep.
I would say that, what do you think of the way Dan Campbell coaches? There's part of me that admires the Riverboat Gambler style. He's done it all year, you know, in situations where 95% of coaches would punt. He's out there at 4th and 5 and saying, to hell with it, let's go for it. And that opportunity that he had tonight in the fourth quarter, he's around midfield. Yep. I think it was 4th and 3. No, it wasn't even. It was on the San Francisco side of the field because they had a chance to kick a long field goal. Like, it would have been, I think, over 45 yards, something like that. But he chose to go for it on 4th and 3 and turned out that and twice, actually. He had decided to forego field goal attempts to go for it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I like it. I like it in theory, just as a fan who, you know, admires aggressive football. But at the same time, sometimes the road less traveled, Jimmy, is less traveled for a fucking reason.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I got to try and keep an unbiased mind, right? But I don't, because right, I love to bet the game. So I'll tell you what, like some of those stats are quite revealing. Some of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you look at say third downs, okay, and in say third with more than 5 yards. Okay, third down with 5 to 8. And then, so they have a game plan, and this is what they do, yada, yada, yada. So you look at that stat, right, and they go, every time they've passed it, okay, on 3rd and 5, which you would do anyway, okay, they make it 65% of the time or something, right? Or, and they go, but every time they run the ball, they fool everybody, and they make it 72% of the time, okay? That's a real stat. So I get that. The thing about the going for it on 4th down where everyone's kind of duped, you know, is like the guy gets it every time. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And does it work 50% of the time? It's going to be something like that. Does it work 40% of the time? The guy's the gambler for sure. So, you know, go back and look at that. You know, you're going on the 40 out of 100 times it worked. So that leaves us with 60 there. Skipper. Okay. Right. Yeah. So I agree with you. I don't, you know, at some point, you know, the NFL's been going on for years and years, and they got tons of staff. Okay. And now they got analytics. Okay. And there's a reason, Coach Lyon, there's a reason they kicked the ball when they got more than fucking 2 yards in 4th down. There's a reason for that, you know?
Yeah, 100 years of that.
Yeah, that's 100 years, right? You know? So that, like, let's look at that. Okay,
the guy, because field position sort of matters.
Well, the other thing is, Stevie, it's not like the CFL where it's 3rd down and they're punting. You're going, this guy could fucking shank it. You know, like they might, but the punters in the NFL reef it. Like they seldom hit a 35-yard punt. You know, like they drill it, man. They drill it. You know, so it's not like you're going, well, I don't know about our punter. You know, you got a guaranteed 50 yards downfield. You're going to lose possession, but they're starting at their 20. You know, so I agree with you. I just think it's fucking stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And the other one the guy does, which I don't mind, is, I don't know if it's called the flea flicker or whatever. He tries that thing 4 or 5 times, you know? Goff takes the snap, throws it back to the guy. The guy whips it back to Goff, and Goff throws it into, you know, they saw that coming this game.
Yeah. Right?
I don't think it ever worked if they tried it 3 times or something. So
the thing I couldn't get past is how much the AFC championship game quarterbacks compared to the NFC championship game quarterbacks. Like, Purdy's okay, but I don't see him having the impact on a game the way Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson would have. I really think the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes are going to find a way, largely because I think that it's part of the reason they won today over Baltimore is that championship experience absolutely matters.
Right.
Like, put it in a context that, you know, is from your, you know, back in your day, thinking about the New York Islanders winning four Stanley Cups in a row. Right. In that fourth Stanley Cup, they took on the Oilers. And that year, the Oilers were a young, exciting team, and everybody's pumped about them and stuff. And a lot of people thought they'd win that one because the Islanders were getting up there. But
right.
Championship pedigree will often win the day. And it certainly looked like that with Kansas City over Baltimore. They just had a little bit more poise than the Ravens did, even though the Ravens were a considerably better team in the regular season and hosted the AFC Championship game. They just didn't have that championship poise that isn't everything, but it's certainly something.
Well, the other thing is, how many games you got to win? What do you got, three to win the Super Bowl in the playoffs?
Let's see. You
fucking
need
four now?
Three if you got a bye, four if you didn't.
Did KC get a bye?
No.
No, they didn't. Okay, so up to today, so Mahomes has played three playoff games, right? You're That's wondering, right? No?
I said yes.
Okay, you're on. The guy's been sacked once in three playoff games.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Once. And it was kind of near the end of today's game, I think. So the guy was almost like three full games, no sacky, okay?
Yeah.
No sacky for me, Stevie, okay?
Yeah.
The guy doesn't like sacky.
I don't see how. I've never had sacky. Is it good?
No, you don't get drunk enough. That's the problem on sacky. You can drink a bunch
of it. What's it taste like?
It's a hot drink. It's a hot little.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a warm. They serve it warm in little wee bottles. The presentation is unbelievable, Steve, the way they do it.
Really?
Yeah. But you don't get drilled enough on it.
Like, is it like drinking a thing? Like, what is it?
It doesn't taste very good.
Lean toward a rye taste or a vodka taste or a gin taste?
It, you know what? It's something I haven't drank in a long time, but I remember drinking it. It's kind of like a warmed up booze. Yeah. But not a sweet one. It's not sweet.
And it's rice based, isn't it?
You know what? I'm going to go have some right now, actually. It's been 15 years. So I'm going to fuck. Way to go, Steve.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
You know what I'm not going to do anytime soon is I don't know if you've ever gone to these home shows. They had one here in Ottawa since the last time we got together. And I got to thinking, I got to bring this up to Jimmy in that it might be it only cost me $14 for my wife and I to go, 14 each.
She should have her own booth, your wife.
I think she should. Yeah. But the principle of the thing is more the thing that it's like I show up and I'm a lead. I'm a potential buyer,
sure.
And as a lead for all of these businesses,
yeah.
Like, what am I doing spending dime one on this thing? And it was like, okay, I guess I understood that to some degree going in, but I don't know, not everybody. Some of them were, you know, lovely and everything, but others were treating it like it was like carnies. Their salespeople were like carnies trying to draw me in to play their games. You know, come on and play the ring toss.
Right.
Come and get some vinyl siding.
Yeah.
You know, come into this draw. And I just, my wife and I spent 30 minutes at the home show last weekend, and we were just feeling like that was the dumbest money we've ever spent. And I understand why all the businesses have to spend money because, well, they're serving up leads
right,
to them.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever been to one of these home shows.
I can't remember. I got turned off from those home guys. The one guy out of, like Brian Ballmer. And his wife now?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, he's there. And the other guys, I don't know, rental.
Mike Holmes?
No, Mike Holmes does his deal with. But all those shows when they first came out, okay, I loved them. They were originally surprising people with rentals to their house. And right. There was a really feel-good thing where they started doing it for firefighters in New York City after 9/11. Okay. It was.
Oh, yeah. I know the guy you're talking about, Ty Paddingham or Winningham.
Yeah, right, right, right. The guy who got caught for drunk driving there about 9 times.
That's
yeah,
right.
That guy. Yeah.
Yep.
So it was kind of cool, right? Where they did that. And then yada, yada, yada. It got sort of, you know, it was like we renovated your kitchen, you know? I go, this is unbelievable, right? They're crying, right?
Yeah.
So then wind the clock ahead 4 years. It's like, okay, we've completely gutted your cottage and we've done your house and every kid gets a car and you never have a mortgage. Right? Okay.
That's more than a favor.
Yeah. And by the way, just listen to these next three commercials about gutting cottages, your house, and mortgages. Okay. It's like,
right.
So I got a bad taste in my mouth. Bomber used to do it for the sort of, you know, the guy was a little more on a budget, right? And they did it. And now it's like him and his wife have bought an island in Jamaica. So why don't you tune in to watch us renovate our 11th cottage? You know, it's like, really? Really? You know, I don't like it from they where they were, you know? So it's like they went to the LIV golf tour, Steve, for the money.
Exactly.
Right? So
it stopped being relatable, really, when you get down to it.
Totally.
I think
totally.
There's another woman. Oh God, I forget her name. Yeah, she's constantly building stuff for herself. And we're building our new cottage, or we're building this or that. Chip and Joanna Gaines now have their own TV network with multiple different TV shows. That's just become its own little industry, this Magnolia thing. And
well,
so,
I'm kind of disgusted by them, like a little bit. Like I saw Bomber and his wife, like they'll do a piece. Go, you know, and Barmer will be laughing out there going, you know, the way wife calls all the shots, you know, she calls all the shots. So somehow she got her way and we went with the $38,000 marble countertop. Oh, okay. You know?
Yeah, you could have put your foot down a little more.
Yeah, a little quicker,
that.
You know what I mean?
That's a common theme in all those HGTV shows, like Chip and Joanna Gaines do that. Chip is always like, oh, I'm the goofball and she's... You know, and she understands it all. And like there's a guy from, he went to South Carlton in Richmond, the Wilsons. They had a flipping show.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've divorced and they've ended that show, but that was the same MO you know, it's like, oh, and she overspent again. Oh my goodness. So, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Stevie. So I just got back. I got back last night from, I was down in Phoenix and had a great time. You know how lucky I am, Steve.
Some things, yes.
So my daughter happens to be down there. She's a partner, in, you know, Sydney. She's a partner in a digital marketing company. The girl who's the primary partner, she's doing okay, Steve. So she's from Edmonton, but she rents a condo down there, Steve, for 5 months a year. Okay, she's 25 years old. Okay.
Wow.
So she's kind of hip. She's kind of cool. She works very hard. It's her money, you know. So I got to go down to do a life story. And so Sid, I'll stay at your place maybe for a few nights. She's like, okay, but I think someone else is coming in, so you can go for a few nights, Dad. And I'm going, okay. And then I got first cousins down there. I'm going to go stay with him. And I'm going, fuck, I do not like staying with people. But but hotels are like $250 a night. So, you know, do the math. It's going to save me about $1,500, something like that. Mm-hmm. So Steve, only me. I'm on the plane and I'm kind of sleeping a little bit and this fucking D-bag, okay, punches me in the shoulder, right? And I just finished talking about this guy in the airport. I was talking to a guy and with yada, yada, yada. He knows me. I know him in Vancouver. And yada, yada. Darcy Hordachuk. I know Darcy. He's a friend of mine. All right. So we go, well, let's snap a picture. I did a gig with Darcy. We snap a picture and send it to him. Hey, Darcy. You know, hey, you two fucking morons. I get on the plane, Stevie. And I hear this punch in my shoulder, and this huge face is right in mine with a toque on, fucking beard, and a headset, you know, like the Boss or whatever they are, the Beats headphones. And I look at him, and I'm going, fuck, dude, stand back, you know? He goes, it's Darcy Hordachuk. I said, what? What? So I'm going, what the fuck? We just ticked, right? Anyway, I sit and talk to him, Steve. You know me. Okay. What are you doing? I'm doing this day. I'm staying with my daughter, but I don't know what the setup is there. And then I got to go to my cousins. I got no idea. He says, no, no, you're not doing that. You're going to stay in my $500,000 condo that's empty.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. So off I go, Stevie. Okay. So I stay there. So I'm down there the week. You know what, Stevie, with all the shit that's going on in the world, you know who's going to take over the world, Steve? I'm fully convinced. So I'm having trouble with my phone. Okay. The kids, Steve, who work at the Apple store, okay, are one day going to go like this. Okay. So I go in. Yeah. Oh, you got to do that. Okay. Do swipe there. Touch that button. Okay. Do that. Okay. Give me that. Do. What? There we go. Hey. Hey, there's no more war. What? Yeah. It's like, fuck, you know what? I don't have to pay a mortgage anymore. I've hacked into every bank in the world. It's just, these kids are incredible. You've been to the Apple store, haven't you?
Of course.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. I'm just like, it doesn't take much to impress me technically. But
I was just going to say, sometimes I impress you and I'm not that spectacular.
These kids, man, the shit that they know, right, to do, I said, they're going to just, every kid at every Apple store is going to form something and they're going to own Earth one day. They're just.
No, I'm watching some of these kids in their 20s that are running podcasts now and they've got StreamYard going and they've got it hooked up to YouTube and they're live streaming and they're hosting at the same time. And it some of them are so good at it. It looks every bit as good as, you know, some post game show on NBC or something.
Yeah.
Just the graphics are great. Yeah. But they're able to, they got animated things happening all over the place. They've got a crawler at the bottom with the latest scores. And this is all just happening in their bedrooms in a lot of cases. And no, there's no doubt that the next generation is a whole lot more tech savvy than anybody we came across in ours.
Sir, you know what you need, sir, right? Because the guy goes like this, ooh, iPhone 11.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need the 15, sir. You need the 15. Why? Because there's 8 cameras on the back of it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If I got to take 8 different fucking photos at the same time or what? Oh, no, it's high. Anyway. Yeah. Stevie, the other thing in the world of sports.
Okay. Is it your Oilers at 16-0?
How's it going, fellas? How's it going?
One off the record.
One off the record, yep. And it's incredible. City's a buzz again. Stevie, so the betting, right, that's going on in the world of sports? And everyone's like everyone's tries to tell you where it's going to go. Okay. The whole world. Okay. Where it's going to go in sports. Where's it going to go with streaming and network TV and radio stations are going to be done and fucking do. Okay. Here's the new one, Steve. I didn't think of. There's a bar in Phoenix that everybody is talking about. Okay. A sports bar. And I never went, but I kept hearing about it, you know. Even from people who go, hey, have you been to DraftKings? I said, what is it? Well, it's a bar. Okay, well, why? Well, DraftKings, Steve, is a gambling site.
Yeah, of course.
And they opened up a fucking bar. Half of it is a betting salon. Betting, listen to me. Did you grow up in a Western gym? So these guys are onto something, Stevie. So now they have a bar in Phoenix. Huge bar. I didn't get there, but I was talking to a guy today who had asked me about it because he happened to be down there when I was. I said, no. He goes, you got to fucking see it. It's just crazy. So the betting companies, Steve, they're gonna buy a Home Depot, Steve. So when you go in there, you can buy your drywall, but step over here and place a wager, sir.
So I'm trying to understand because the whole world is going away from bricks and mortar to online.
I know.
Why would a gambling website, like, what's the advantage of going to a bar that has, is it a bar?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. It's a bar, but they've got a whole betting area. I think the whole idea is you get to bet with your buddies in a party atmosphere, whale back some Frosties, scope some betties and place a bet.
I know there's one in Vaughan called the Stadium Bar, and I know it's like a sports bar with all kinds of cool games and stuff.
Right.
But there's a big portion of it that just basically has TV sets that are trained on, I don't know, Connaught Raceway or whatever racetrack. And there's all these gambling degenerates, not degenerates, but gamblers who come in, you know, it's like 11 in the morning and they're just like bloodshot and they're in there and looking over the race forms and things like that.
Well, so that's off track.
I guess sort of the same thing. Yeah. Off track.
Off track betting is what that is. It's been around a long time, but anyway, watch for that. Watch for that in your local neighborhood for Bet365 to open up a bar called Bet365, you know?
All right.
Anyway, there you go.
Finally, a chance for, you know, people who like to gamble, a nice outlet for them because it's so underserved right now when you get down to it.
Yeah.
But I want to talk more about your Oilers. Like, to be 16-0. I talk more about my Senators, but they got pummeled by the Rangers 7-2 the other night.
Oh no.
I need some kind of a distraction from them.
Right.
Certainly at 16, a 16 game win streak right now, phenomenal. They're one back of the record set by the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Mario Lemieux Pittsburgh Penguins, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it will be interesting to see if they can keep that going, because they've, I think they got a 9-day break now between the All-Star break.
Oh.
And I think that, I think all teams get like a,
yeah, you get a week off. Yeah.
Week. Yeah. And so, it's happening, you know, at the wrong time for the Oilers, because they are as piping hot as any team in NHL history, which is so shocking. I think about my Sens and your Oilers. We both fired our head coach and very different things occurred. The Sens are improving now, finally, a little, but they're certainly not dabbling in a 16-0 run. But it's shocking to me that the Oilers could have been as bad as they were. Everybody agreed they had to fire Jay Woodcroft, and they bring in Knobloch, and now they're just, they can't stop.
Yeah,
they're stopped winning.
And I'm not sure what the biggest change is. Like, I don't know enough about, I can't look at a hockey game and go, oh, I see what they're doing here. I see that.
Right.
You know? No, they're not doing a chip and chase. You know, they're making an extra pass on the one that come right. So I don't know enough about it. But what I do know, Stevie, because they were, like, they were terrible, right? That's why they fired the coach, right? They lost 8 of the first 11 games or something. Is the guys, that coach, for sure, is telling them, shoot the pill, baby. Shoot, because they're getting 40 shots a night every fucking night. I'm exaggerating, but like their defenseman there, Bouchard, right? I'm going, fuck, every time the guy gets the puck, he doesn't make the pass anymore. He's got the howitzer of a shot. Howitzer of a shot. Anyway.
But it should be impossible. It shouldn't be possible to be that bad the way they were at the start of the year. And basically the same group, with obviously been some changes, but pretty much the same core is like unbeatable right now. And to me, it's a little like watching San Francisco in that NFC championship. They were a joke in the first half. Not a joke, but they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get any pressure at all on Detroit.
Right.
And then in the second half, and this is what it comes down to, I think, you get a little confidence and that breeds a little momentum, which is more of an intangible thing. And then off you go. It just tells you that sometimes teams aren't as bad as you think or as good as you think. Sometimes you're just riding on pure momentum and adrenaline.
Yeah, it's like, I get it. Okay, why the coach had to be fired. It's like, here's the problem, right? The guy couldn't win. With Connor and Draisaitl and all the fucking shit about, like, Russ, you know? You can't win with two guys. I'm like, you know what? You can, okay? They've won plenty, you know? Sometimes you'll look up, you'll think it's a made-up stat, Steve, and they'll go, so Connor and Draisaitl have combined for 58 points in 7 games. Right?
That's insane.
So, like, it's just crazy shit, right? So anyway, this guy gets fired. Oilers are going nowhere from losing a bunch of games, and then they can't not win. I'm scared. I'm going, how could it be such a huge difference? By the way, that coach was there for a couple of years and did really well, Jay Woodcroft. I'm just expecting someone to go, well, you know what the problem was? That the coach, Jay Woodcroft, he kept forgetting to put a fifth guy out on each line. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It's okay. Yeah, it's really hard to win then. You know, you can't do it. But, you know, winning that, like, I don't know, Stevie, but I do know this. All the guys I've talked to, including Hordachuk and Russ and all these other guys, it's like, you know, it's at a time when the league's got tons of parity. To win that many games is, like, not a chance. Not a chance. Like they were freaking out because the Oilers, prior to the 16 games, I think they lost 3, but had previously won 8 in a row, 8 or 9 games in a row, mm-hmm. after they've hired that new coach. And everyone's going, there's no way you can keep winning like that. The league's too tough, you know? And so
they're rolling for sure. And if you ever want to find out why the old coach wasn't getting her done, it's probably not as obvious as he wasn't putting that fifth guy out there. But if you ever want to know, listen to the first 3 days after the coaching change has occurred, maybe even as long as a week, listen to the players commenting as you go along. It's you know, it's clear they're happier. They're winning games again. But everything that they talk about what's happening now or what's happening with the new coach is almost an indictment of what the old coach was or wasn't doing.
He's such a good guy. I know Jay. I played a couple games of golf with him, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy, you know. And so it's not like
you should talk to him and find out what happened. See what he thinks the problem was.
If you're a coach, Steve, who gets fired, Jay Woodcroft could never say this. If you're a coach who gets fired, I've got to think, Steve, you're tuning into each game after that, hoping they lose. I mean, it's the only human nature. You know, would you be like, it's not like, Stevie, it's not like they fire a Tortorella, right? And people are like, thank God, you know, I hate that prick. You know, everybody loved this kid. You know, everybody loved this kid. Yeah. It was almost like the Vancouver scene when what's his face got, they knew he was getting let go after the game. It was the weirdest situation I'd ever seen in the NHL. Boudreaux. Remember, he was crying at the end of the night, waving goodbye, and they're like, why is he doing this? Well, they're going to fire him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Usually that's an announcement somewhere, you know, not, hey, Bruce, we're firing you next week. Good luck in there. Go get him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking of the same thing about, you know, with DJ Smith. I wonder if, you know, when he watches the game, is he feeling good? Because he was a real player's coach, and the players really liked him. They just weren't winning together, and so something had to change. They needed a new voice there.
Right.
And I think it'd be a, if it's me and I'm thinking about things from DJ Smith's perspective, I'm sure there's a bit of a mixed emotion from you want the guys to do well because you have a fondness for them. But at the same time, if they have great success, that's sort of an indictment on what you were doing. And
totally,
you don't want that to be out there. Human nature, like you say. But today it was interesting. Let me know what you think of this. The new GM is Steve Staios here, who came from the Edmonton Oilers in his last gig.
Right.
And he's Michael Andlauer's right-hand man. And they had one of those sort of, they had the skills competition. And so the fans and families came out this afternoon. And before it started, they had fans in to do a question and answer, kind of a hot stove thing. There was Steve Staios, our buddy Cyril Leader, and Dave Poulin, who's now Steve Staios' right-hand man.
Yeah, right. The guy from TSN. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. And so all's well there and everything. But at one point, I think Steve Staios said something along the lines of, and this is according to one of the people I follow that was there. He said on why the team needed to switch coaches, DJ Smith is a motivator, worked very hard to motivate a young group, but he lacked details and structure. So I'm thinking,
awesome.
That can't, Well, I mean, that's that. I think I really like Steve Staios. He's very transparent. He's a very likable guy. I'm not sure if you've crossed paths with him before or not, but he seems like a really, really straight shooter. But I'm not sure that DJ Smith is appreciating hearing that. Making its way out of sort of
that tough thing about getting fired when you hear those comments. You only have to actually look to today's game, and they were saying, about
which game?
The Detroit game. Okay. The Detroit game. And they started putting up quotes from the players of Detroit about the coach. And I can only think you must be, you know, it must like knife you right in the heart when one of them is, this coach is absolute. I've been with Detroit a long time. This coach is absolutely the best leader we've ever had.
Right.
So if you're the coach, you know, who coached that guy, it's like, thanks. The problem with that structure detail comment is, well, could have you helped me out there a little bit, boys, if you weren't happy with my detail and structure? You know what I mean? If you're the head coach, right?
Right.
It's like, you say that now. Where were you, you know, a year ago or something? But anyway.
Well,
I don't mind that.
Yeah, for sure. It just, I'll say this, in that they brought in Jacques Martin while DJ Smith was the head coach. They brought him in as a consultant. So right away, DJ Smith is going, uh-oh, this isn't good. Right. And even after he got fired, he said it was a lot of voices. He took the high road. He said it was a lot of voices basically saying, you know,
see ya.
Jacques wanted to do things, start doing things his way, even though DJ Smith is still the head coach of the team. And then, of course, they made the change. So to answer your question, Steve Staios technically did bring in some help to try and get the defensive details going. But I'm sure if you asked DJ Smith, there was no point of that hiring that he appreciated.
Yeah, right. And it's not like Jacques has been the answer. And I love Jacques, you know, so.
Well, there, I guess somebody, I think it was Sportsnet put it out today. Since he took over, the club has a goals against average of 4. 4 goals a game is going to lose you a lot of hockey games. And that's true. That is maybe a little misleading to put it out now, though, because in the last 5-6 games, this 7-2 loss to the Rangers notwithstanding, they have improved a little bit. Goaltending wasn't great.
Right.
Defensive breakdown. So anyway,
I'll tell you something.
It is what it is.
Sorry. Before I leave the Oilers thing, Stevie, which I hate to do, you know, so I'm not going to leave it.
Sure.
Those guys, like last year, the year before, whatever, the numbers were through the roof with Connor and Dreisaitl. Okay. Like through the fucking roof. Right. They were crazy.
Yeah.
I think this year, Stevie, when they're on this heater, which is apparently that's the term of the year, Stevie, the heater. Everyone's on a heater.
The heater.
Yeah. They got the 16 in a row going after the 8 in a row. I think those two guys are at their lowest point production. Like,
really?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think if you look up the stat, I can do, I don't know.
No, this is your stat. Why do I have to look up your stat?
Well, I don't have my phone.
You're dazzling me with this nut.
All right, I'm going
to
interrupt the show. I'm going to get my phone right now and I'm going to go just hang
it. No, all right, I'll do it. No, I don't want to interrupt.
Let's go to the score app and hit leaders.
So you want, like,
where's
leaders overall, or you want to know what they've been doing lately?
Where do they sit? Where do Connor and Dreisaitl sit? Connor's creeping up. There, he got 4 the other night again. But where do they sit, points-wise?
All right, let me tell you. Connor McDavid is right now at tied for 4th at 67 points.
Yeah, how many goals?
Jesus, look at Nikita Kucherov and Nathan MacKinnon, 85 and 84 points. Like, that's hovering near 2 points a game. And so the times there are changing. Right. What's the next
question? How many goals does Connor have?
Connor McDavid has 20 goals in 43 games.
Right. So he might not make 50. Right?
No, I don't. Yeah, he's going to have to go.
Right. And what's obviously. I'm making the point. I don't know the exact numbers, but whatever this coach brought in, they're not, I don't know if their ice time's lower or whatever, or what he's told them. So it's interesting. It's interesting anyway. So.
Yeah, they're not putting up, I mean, for forwards, they're putting anytime you're over 20 minutes, like that's a lot of ice time for a forward. Dreisaitl is almost 21 and Connor McDavid is 21-30. So this just in, you want those two guys on the ice,
yes.
Perennial MVP candidates, probably a good idea. But a fascinating turnaround. I'm not sure we've seen such a stark turnaround. I can't think of obviously St. Louis, when they were last place in the NHL in January and then went on to win the Stanley Cup, that was huge. But it wasn't as quick and dramatic as this one was.
Right.
It was the same sort of deal. Craig Berube came in. I forget who he replaced as coach that year. And they went on a heater, like you say. And sometimes that will happen. Sometimes a goalie comes in and can get the team going and feeling good about itself. And obviously it can happen with coaches too. Just wish it happened here in Ottawa.
Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Ottawa area, I recommend the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Glenn helped our family sell a home a few years ago. He set aside a budget to help us out with painting, cleaning, and even updating our ceiling lights for us. We got multiple offers, and the home sold for well over asking price. Call the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team today at glennwalton.com.
Here's the other thing, Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about it maybe for a couple shows in a row.
A row.
Is Corey Perry.
That's interesting.
The Corey Perry story, of course, right, was riveting. He got let go from the Blackhawks because of something that happened at a social function. Mm-hmm. And he gets turfed. they did an amazing job with keeping it under wraps. Like somehow it didn't bust, right? No one ever heard what happened.
Exactly.
I heard from my sources that one of them was maybe got a little lippy with a corporate sponsor. So I went to my boys like, no, it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you had asked me, because we had a lengthy discussion, does the guy deserve a second chance? And I kept saying, well, he's going to get nothing unless we find out what it was.
Yeah.
Like he's got to be transparent for the poor woman, Connor Bedard's mother, right? Who got dragged into this thing saying it just went.
Yeah. It's all lies.
You know, skyrocket, this gross fucking rumor mm-hmm. that he's, you know, that he got together with his mother, which was terribly wrong. But anyway, Oilers sign him, my boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to speculate on whether I think that's, does he deserve a second chance? I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened. And I know that it's going to just, they don't want it out there. And it's a lot of speculation, whether you know or not. I'm not sure I even want to put it out on the podcast, but we've all heard rumblings of this or that. It is interesting, though, that a team like the Chicago Blackhawks and their recent checkered past, it rose to the level, right? Whatever Corey Perry did, it rose to the level of expulsion from the team effectively. And it didn't rise to the level of, for Ken Holland, something that he wouldn't want to sign Corey Perry to the Edmonton Oilers. So, I mean, I think that Chicago is actually now in a mode of uber sensitive after everything they've been through, the Kyle Beach thing and their reaction to it, sweeping it under the rug, in the Patrick Kane years before that whole scenario. They didn't have a very good reputation going. So I think that even small transgressions, not saying it was small or large in Corey Perry's case, but even small transgressions, they will deal harshly with, because I think they are trying to clean up their image.
Yeah, and if you read Corey Perry's presser or whatever he had after, you can see he's contrite and you can guess what the issue may be, but he says, I'm getting a handle on my personal life mm-hmm. and I like where it's going and yada, yada, yada. So I think he's doing okay, right? Tune in. Watch him on the bench there, Steve. He's getting a handle on things. I mean, he's machine gunning shots of vodka between shifts, but he'll...
I didn't see that coming.
I kid.
Of course you do. I kid.
I have no idea.
Well, to close out the show, and this is a tough story to talk about, but we've gone sort of down this road. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the Hockey Canada thing. It looks like it's starting to come to a conclusion. The long, long investigation into the 2018 Team Canada World Junior team and the allegations from a woman who was 20 years old back in 2018, the allegation that eight hockey players sexually assaulted her after a banquet after the 2018 gold medal win. It happened 6 months later at a sort of a gala banquet thing. And it happened in a London, Ontario hotel room, allegedly. So that's now come to a head. The Globe and Mail reported that London police had said, we have five hockey players from that team that we are now asking to turn themselves in. And it's in connection with that 2018 complaint. And at the same time, didn't take much to put two and two together. I'm not going to, but I think we're all connecting the dots. Suddenly, five players from the World Junior team in 2018 took leaves of absence from their current mm-hmm. pro teams. That included former Senator Alex Formanton and, I'll name the others, Dylan Dubé from Calgary, Michael McLeod and Cal Foote from New Jersey, and Carter Hart in Philly. And they say Dylan Dubé from Calgary. Anyway, that's the list of five. And today, as we're recording this, Formanton officially turned himself in to police in London. And so I guess we're going to hear everything from that London police are prepared to announce on February the 5th. But it looks like we're going to have the whole thing, charges. And I think Formanton's lawyer said that Formanton's been charged, as have other players. But this thing is going to be, I think, a long process getting to a court date. And then it will probably be a pretty long trial as well. So this thing is not nearing a conclusion in that sense. But we're at least now at the end of the investigation process by the look of it.
Well, yeah.
Sorry to leave you with that.
No, that's okay. So Carter Hart, I think, is either from Edmonton or spent some time here because my daughter knows
him. Oh.
Sydney. She worked in the bar business, and she said he used to come there a lot. Not like it was a distraction, just like any other guy, you know, he popped by. And she said it couldn't have been a finer gentleman.
Right.
You know?
Sherwood Park, however, Alberta.
Yeah, right, which is Kanata to Edmonton.
Right.
You know, same deal. Here's the scary thing, Stevie.
It's scary, all right?
What happens?
Scary, gross, all of it.
Yeah, it's all of it. So the best thing that could happen for these guys, I you know, if they committed this crime, the river, the wild thing here is, man, that's jail.
Oh God, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's sexual assault, man. Rape is if you've been accused of that and you're found guilty, you know, that's not always got, you can't play for a year. Mm-hmm. You know, that is.
No, hockey doesn't matter.
It's deadly serious. It's, you know, you know, when we talk about Corey Perry getting a break, it had nothing to do with that, but, boy. So look for, but I just don't think they can do it, Steve. Like if this girl, it gets further and further into it, her life is upside down. They need her to carry on with the accusation, with the criminal charge. You know, it ain't any fun.
No,
it ain't any fun for her. You're going to be called in the stand. The defense lawyers are going to rip you limb from limb. Oh fuck, it's just horrible. So a lot of times, Steve, what happens is a settlement, I guess, and. I don't know, Steve, by law here, what happens if the law steps in and goes, no, there's no settling here.
Well, I mean, Canada already reached a settlement with her. So this would be, you know, I don't know how this thing will end. And so I think it's possible still that a new and maybe bigger settlement might happen. I just don't know. I don't even know if that's on the table at this stage of the game. I think I speak for both of us when I say that we just hope the justice prevails and the right thing is done. And in the meantime, reserving judgment, because that's what our justice system is all about, going through due process, having a trial and letting things play out, innocent until proven guilty. But if that day comes when people are proven guilty, then to hell with them, and I hope they throw the book at them.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yep. Let's do that.
Any good shows? Because we got an all-star break coming up in the NHL, and we got 2 weeks off before the Super Bowl. Any shows you can recommend to me?
If I had my phone,
what happened?
Yes. Hang on. Just don't go away.
Oh,
hang
on. Come on. He's going to get his phone. Do you want to know the one I saw? It's called Silent Night. It's a couple of years old now. It's got Keira Knightley, a few other actors you'd know. It's got the little kid from Jojo Rabbit, who I thought was terrific in that.
Okay.
But it was basically about a young family at Christmas time, basically trying to have one last normal Christmas. While there's apparently this deadly gas that's sweeping the planet, and you know their cell phones are getting amber alerts all the time. Don't forget to take your suicide pill.
What?
Because you do not want to inhale this gas that's currently sweeping the earth. They never really tell us exactly why a deadly gas is sweeping the earth. Like, what would you do if you were in that situation? Would you go ahead and just believe the government that the gas is going to come and get you, and it's this horrible, horrible, painful death?
Well,
anyway, it was kind of interesting. Anyway,
you and I are close, Steve. I'd do anything for you, and I would, I'd give you my pill.
Oh, that's lovely. So I can have two. Whose house are you at right now? You're saying,
by the way, but I'm at my house. Why?
I thought you said hi to Matt or something.
Yeah, no, I got a buddy here.
Oh, okay.
Just popped in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Stevie, here's the thing. I'll send it to you.
This isn't going to help the listener.
Films that changed the way you think. Okay. Demolition, 2015.
Demolition, okay? 2015.
Yeah. It looks like it's got, I like the guy. He was the Night Stalker photographer. Who's that guy? You know that actor.
Night Stalker photographer?
Gyllenhaal. Gyllenhaal?
Oh, yeah,
Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, Demolition, 2015. Hang on. Lion. Lion, Lion, 2016 was when it was filmed. After Sun is one word, S-U-N. Yeah, 2022.
Okay.
And 7 Pounds, that's been around since 2008.
Okay.
Well, these films, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. You ask Steve, and I'm fucking delivering, man.
Have you seen all these shows?
No. Beautiful Boy. I think that's about a kid who's addiction and the parents get put through the ringer.
Okay.
You didn't write that down. Beautiful Boy.
Well, no, they're not your recommendations. They're just some schlub on the
internet. Well, no, but they're Little Miss Sunshine. I remember that.
Oh, that was a good show. That was lots of fun.
Yeah, Little Miss. So I'm The Bucket List, 2007.
That's Morgan Freeman.
That's a long. Yep.
I didn't know what a bucket list was until I saw that movie.
There you go.
There's another one. The next one I'm going to watch was a recommendation. I think it got some Oscar nominations, called Zone of Interest. And it's basically about this German family going through their mundane things in their lives. And they got this nice little house and everything's charming and good. But the dad is a little off. And it turns out they live in a little village.
I know a dad like that. My kids know a dad like that.
Yes, I bet they do. But they live in this little town called Auschwitz, which you may have heard of. And the dad is actually the commandant at Auschwitz. And he's trying to make life as normal for his family as possible. And this little nice little house that they have is right outside the walls of Auschwitz. And so it's... my buddy says he thought it was fantastic. He says it's not going to be a movie. It'll be like Schindler's List, not like a movie you like per se, but a must watch all the same. So that's probably the next movie my wife and I are going to watch.
Did you sort of dig deep and flip on Saltburn?
Yeah, I got some feedback on that in the last episode.
I talked to you, remember, about it?
You did. That's why we got some feedback on it. Yeah, when you brought up After Sun, I was thinking, is that some sort of sequel or prequel? And you didn't exactly sell it to me or the good listener, I think, for the most part.
I know.
You said it was a good movie, kind of beyond that, but that scene, I just think I need to try and just the description you gave is plenty for me. Thank you.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. There you go. But you haven't seen anything personally, Steve, that you can recommend?
Of those I haven't. Okay. No, Netflix kind of ran its course for me after COVID. I watched so much Netflix in COVID because I never left my house. And then, I don't know.
Like just Netflix as a platform or all social streaming stuff?
Just I'm a machine, right? You know my hours that I keep, right? Mm-hmm. I my dad says, it's like a beer commercial. You know, I stay up all night. I fuck around. And so I was watching, I watched every episode, though, Stevie, of The OC. I've told you that before.
Right.
That took me through COVID.
When do you get up exactly? Because I know last Saturday.
Today I got up at 3 o'clock.
I was going to say, because I think the last couple of Saturdays we've tried to record, and I think we tried to do one at 3:30. Oh, sorry, man, I just got up.
Yeah, I got out of bed. However, the reason is
the not sleeping.
Oddly enough, Stevie, I love the majors in tennis.
Okay.
And the Australian Open was on this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 2 weeks, the Australian Open. And the matches are at 1:30 in the morning, my time.
Right.
And so last night I stayed up and watched Sinner. Came back 2 sets down to beat Medvedev in the final.
Cool.
And Sabalenka, Stevie.
Yes.
She won the win.
I'll have to look her up to see her stats.
Sabalenka.
Okay.
Sabalenka. I think you're going to look at her and go, really, Jim?
Really?
Remember the old days, Steve, on the radio show, we could really expand on this?
Well, we all still think it. Like, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's just we're not supposed to talk about it anymore. We're not supposed to do that. It's just because
you're not supposed to think it anymore. Well, good luck.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I'm admitting to you right now. No, I think about it. A lot.
Every male does.
Yeah, all right.
With that, we'll call it a day. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us here on the SWP, the Steve Warren Project, sports and whatever. Our website is stevewproject.com. I guess that's all I have to say for
today. What's on that thing, that website?
It's basically contact information. There's a video there.
Not going to it yet. Okay. No, don't need to go to it yet.
Oh, there's all our contact information is there.
I know how to get a hold of you.
There's a video of you.
Did you embarrass me?
No, it was just a fun one. Where
aren't you embarrassed?
It's just a fun one. It's been there pretty much since day one. Really, there's not much going on our website, so don't really worry about it. But if you happen to need us, you find us there. But the video is basically you trying to work out your video camera on your webcam, and it's just not going. Or your laptop. Okay. It's just not going very well.
Steve W at project.ca.
SteveWproject.com. You can also email us if you have any suggestions. You know, maybe stop podcasting would be one. SteveWproject@outlook.com is our email address. We do get quite a few emails, so I should actually corral those and read them on the program. We have some regular listeners.
Or send them to me, Steve. JungleJerome@yahoo.com.
Well, look at that.
I'm going to handle our emails from now on.
Nice. Nice.
JungleJerome@yahoo.com.
Yes, you'll diligently put them together and assemble them for the next episode. It'll be fabulous. All right.
We'll have a mailbag segment. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Because that's never been done before.
Yeah, so go back to old Twat J, The World According to Jim. You answer questions. People get life advice.
I know, but that's a coincidence because that's not why I called it that.
Yeah, I always wanted the second T to be silent, just like Tigor. Twatj. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks, Jimmy. Talk soon.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at SteveWProject.com.